So, Thomas, I may have been a little hard on these introductions this last couple of weeks. I may have said some hurtful things that I didn't really mean.
A little bit unfair.
I'm going to apologise to you.
Oh.
In means of a great podcast. I know today's podcast is going to be amazing. Let's kick it off. Tom, I'm at attack. The introduction's a lie. I've been held at gunpoint.
The truth is, we're recording this on a Thursday as opposed to a Sunday. Now, considering myself anyway plays games at the weekend and generally not in the week.
And I've been ridiculously busy editing together something
it's
I'm going to launch.
For me in general as well this week. I haven't played any video games whatsoever,
bum.
I don't think. And I certainly haven't purchased any.
Wowzers.
Actually, I tell a lie, actually. I did a bit of street passing.
Oh, really?
I exchanged some play coins for puzzle pieces.
Did you get anything good? Did you finally complete your Luigi's Mansion 2 puzzle?
Oh, I did that a while ago.
Can you see the ghosts flying 3D?
Yeah. Oh. I love those things, but... I haven't completed any in a while. So,
wowzers.
Moving on.
Moving on to me then, I guess.
You tell me about your week in game, Matthew, because I don't have one.
Okay, Thomas. Well, you know, I'm sure you can rectify that. You've got a lot of travelling to do tomorrow.
I will certainly be playing video games. I might even pick up a couple of 3DS games I've been looking at.
Oh, really?
Which I should have done before the podcast, and I could have talked about them.
You could have. What are you thinking of buying? What is your prediction for buying games?
I was on the eShop, and I found a couple of interesting-looking indie games on the eShop.
Okay.
Maybe more on that later.
Fair enough, if you can remember them. Mm. I, on the other hand, have also not actually bought a lot this week. I've been looking at the usual Danish website I buy games from, and I've seemed to have noticed a trend in the last couple of weeks that everything that's been listed is ridiculously priced.
Okay. Do you have some examples of these prices?
I do have some examples of these prices, Thomas, for a little game we're going to play called...
Yes.
How fucking much?
Nice. Is this a little bit like eBay and Etta?
It is a little bit like eBay and Etta.
Like a total rip-off of eBay and Etta?
A complete rip-off of eBay and Etta, some
those
might say.
Not in the know, eBay and Etta was a game that was used to feature on the Blast Process podcast, which me and Matt have both been part of in the past.
You more so than me. I kind of guessed it on one episode.
Yeah, before it disappeared again.
In its waning revival.
We
need to get back on that. Dave, I know you're listening.
Yeah, it was a good podcast. For those interested, check it out. The last one we recorded was rather good, and it featured Matt Boyle.
It did. I was there.
Even better than usual.
I wouldn't go that far. I quite enjoyed listening to the Bass Process show way back when, before we even started Tom and Matt Attack. So I think you're doing yourself a disservice,
like
Mr. Parry.
To the Bass Process show. The Bass Protest show.
Bass Process. No. No.
Right. Yeah, moving on.
Actually, if you haven't checked out BlastProcess.com, please do so.
Yeah.
Yeah, get on it.
There's some great content. They're very regular now. And to explain again, Blast Process was a site I was very much involved with. Still am. We post on Matt Attack there. But it was formed by myself and a couple of friends back in the UK. And there's it's a lot of content and a lot more coming. It's very regular now.
Yes, there is. Mm. I'm trying to
find... of games, app quirky app reviews. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Also, some write-ups on some PS4 games by yours, truly. Right then, actually, this whole idea, as well as the idea of eBay and Etta, this was sparked by our good friend Ali at the Retro Hunter on Twitter, part of the Retro Asylum podcast, because he posted a picture that a game in the UK, or at least the Game Digital Stores, is it? Or Gametronics stores, are now stocking retro games again. Game has started... It's a game... Some of the game stores have been branded as Gametronics, and they also sell electronic devices such as iPads, and there's more focus on phones and things.
Oh, everyone's doing that.
But in these shops, they're also selling retro games again, and he actually has a picture. However, Thomas, they're ludicrously priced. For example, I'm going to show you this picture of Crash Bandicoot, a platinum edition of this.
I'm scared, I'm scared. That is ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Thomas, please tell the listener how much Crash Bandicoot
this
is.
Copy of Crash Bandicoot for the PlayStation 1 costs 20 British pounds.
It does.
My God, that's disgusting. Honestly, yes. I take that to the till and say I'm disgusted by this price.
Oh, well, Thomas. Well, then, when you see these prices that I'm about to show you...
People buy anything, don't they?
Yes, they will, Tom, because people have no idea of the value of anything.
It's worth nothing.
Right, then. I'm going to give you one price, which this is actually some eBay listings I was looking at earlier, and prices. These first two are. The rest of them are going to be Danish.
Okay.
So you could say, yeah, the first two are eBay and Etta, then the other two won't be. Because this is not eBay and Etta. It's how fucking much?
Yes.
Because I like saying that in a really high-pitched voice. Right then. First item on the list of how much is a Silver Game Boy SP. It comes with this box.
Silver Game Boy SP.
Yeah, not the Tribal Edition, just the regular one. Mm. It does not say whether it is a 001 or a 101, so we have no way of knowing if it is a backlit screen or a frontlit screen.
Or probably not being it's a British one. Oh, it's not British, is it? It's eBay. So
it is eBay. It could be from anywhere.
Okay.
I did not check current location.
Okay.
It looks to be in good condition. It has one of those little metal carry cases with padding inside, so it looks like it's been
taken care of. Oh, you should be able to get them from Game.
Maybe
it is British.
A copy of Sonic Advance 2.
Great game.
Printed box.
Probably one of the best Sonic games ever.
Copy of Mario Kart Super Circuit in box. Advance Wars 1 and 2 both in
box. Wow, really good games.
Ice Climbers, and then Dinotopia, maybe not so much, but that's also in a box.
Mm.
It has, like I said, all of these are mint in box. All of them have their cables, etc. Everything is there that you would need to kick this experience off. I may even believe there may be even a link cable involved in this.
Wow.
How much would you say that that...
Well, I'm thinking about the game, the boxed games of that caliber.
Yes. Know. And they are very good.
Advance Wars 1 and 2. Mm, probably the most notable in there for retaining the value, I imagine.
Well, you know, I would imagine a copy of Mario Kart Super Circuit is also probably up there as well.
I don't know if Sonic has a high value anymore.
Ice Climbers as well is also one of the Nintendo original black box things, yeah.
Okay, so those games are... I'm actually going to go as high as £50.
Well, Thomas, you need to double that amount of money. £100 this item is listed for on eBay. Buy it now. And I'm going to be honest, I think that is kind of reasonable when compared to the other things we have on offer you. Right then, listed also on eBay, and this is the one that caught my eye and made me want to do this thing, is an item listed as Pokemon Game Lot. Eight Pokemon games.
Eight Pokemon games, right.
None of them are boxed, none of them have instructions. And also bear in mind that this seller has had two of these lots up and sold one of them.
Right.
We have a copy of Pokemon Silver. A copy of Pokemon Red.
When you start with Silver.
A pirate copy of Pokemon Blue that is missing its label.
Oh, that's worth nothing.
A copy of Pokemon Yellow. An American copy of the Pokemon trading card game with a substantially faded label. Mm. Pokemon Fire Red for the Game Boy Advance, as well as Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, the red one. I don't know the difference between the two. And a rather beat-up looking copy of Pokemon Pinball.
No Pokemon Sapphire Ruby?
No Pokemon Sapphire Ruby, no copy of Gold, no Leaf Green. Like I said, the carts all look pre-loved, shall we say. And postage, hopefully will give you some sneaky hints.
It shouldn't be a lot, should it?
£3. It's not too bad.
No, it is Game Boy games after all.
Quite light.
Yeah. Okay, and Well, you were showing me some copies of Pokemon Red, for instance, that were selling at £20, was it? Or 200 kroner, I forget.
Well, they were
£20.
Boxed.
Were they boxed?
They were boxed copies I was showing you. And sometimes the carts go up, and I have looked today, and I've seen two auctions for a copy of Red and a copy of Blue that are both at... I don't know, around the £12 mark with half an hour to go for a cart.
You know, Nintendo would make a mint if they stuck those games on the eShop.
They would.
Get on it. They're still portable. That was the big argument about re-releasing Pokemon games, that they should be on portable consoles. Well, it's
yes.
So, anyway, I'll guess then. Gosh. Something silly, I imagine. I'll say £50 again.
$89.99. Oh. And it's not, yeah.
It's not unusual, though, so is it, for overpriced games on eBay?
No, it is not. But that would bring the total of these eight games to £93. Or actually £92.99.
Well, somebody's not going to... But they say they've sold it.
They've sold one of them. And exactly they had two bundles. Well, I assume so. It said two for sale, one sold. So someone's bought these games.
One cartridge out of them.
I don't think so.
No.
Wow. This is where
it
gets...
It's shocking, really, Matthew.
It is, Thomas.
It's disgusting.
This is where it gets really fun.
Right.
Right. We have... On this Danish website that I use.
DSB.
Sega DBA.
Oh, DBA. What's DSB? Oh, that's the travel yes, it company
is.
In Denmark.
It is.
Yeah. It's Danish rail. They run the trains, yeah.
Sega Master System 2. No cables.
Master System 2. No cables.
No yeah. games.
A built-in game?
Alex Kidd.
Ah.
No controllers. And the cover slot that goes over it is actually off, but it's in the lot.
How do you get that off?
I don't know. But it's in the lot, so if you want to take it apart, you can fix it yourself. How much do you think that would cost
that
you, Tom?
That would be on there for 99p.
£85 fucking pounds! £85!
Unbelievable. That's a Danish price.
Yes.
So what's that in kroner?
It was 850 kroner, yeah, so it's probably even closer to £90.
Yeah. Wow. Again, they're not going to sell that.
And
for anyone in their right mind,
the cream of the crop, in my opinion. And in all fairness, like, I have seen Super Nintendo's ludicrously priced on this system, on this DBA website,
the
time. Hence why I don't really tend to buy Super Nintendo things anymore, because I can find bargains elsewhere. Mm. Right then, we have a Super Nintendo. It has three controllers, one of which is unofficial. One of which actually is the controller I described last week that my brother threw against the wall and smashed. Ah. So maybe I'll buy that for him.
Three controllers.
A Super Game Boy, which is actually the American Super Game Boy. Mm. And there's no mention that the console is modded.
Or maybe it's an American console.
I do not believe so.
Okay.
It's not the funky light of the colours.
No. Because it doesn't look like one. No. That's a good way of telling it is American a good way Super Nintendo, isn't it? It looks totally different to the European one.
It has no power leads or aerial, but the guy says they are also available on his auction.
Oh, he's
for
selling them separately.
Krona. He is. Good of him. 100 kroner. It's photographed with actually quite a nice selection of games. These are not your run-of-the-mill Super Nintendo titles. While there are a copy of Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, Super
Good
Mario
games.
Kart.
Good games.
There's a copy of Breath of Fire 2.
Yeah.
Which is a very rare PAL game, as well as one or two others. And then next to those, there are boxed and absolutely mint-looking copies of Final Fantasy III, i.e. FF6, Secret of Mana, and Chrono Trigger.
Very desirable.
Yes.
This is going to cost
However,
a lot of money.
It says in the bottom of the auction lot that these games are not included in big capital letters with the auction.
None of those games?
None of those games are included. You know, you can imagine from
probably gonna sell them separately.
The caliber of games that are with this system that this man may have a clue as to what a Super Nintendo, without any leads, he's selling them separately, and three controllers, and a Game Boy.
Three controllers,
Super Game Boy,
one's not worthwhile
a
anyway.
Super Game Boy that's absolutely worthless to this very system, because it probably can't be used.
Yeah.
How much would you say...
I think it's going to be silly again.
That's
Well, I'm trying to think how much I paid for mine. Now, my Super Nintendo came with all the leads. One controller. It was modded so you could fit different cartridges in it from every... So you could play everything on it.
Yes.
Like an American Super Game Boy, for instance. Yes. It also has switches so you can play 60 hertz, switch between regions. So that was about £30.
Yes.
I think I paid £30 for that. 30 to 40, can't remember. I was fairly happy with that. So that's a great price. This, this isn't worth half of that, I'd say. I'd say, let's say 20. No, they're going to sell it for what? 30. They're going to sell it for 30.
Well, a bit of information about Super Nintendo buying recently. A good friend, Ali, again, who is one of the... is
60.
Preliminary collecting the Super Nintendo, has paid 60 a few times for Super Nintendos that come with a bulk of games and two controllers and all their leads. Believe it or not, they're not sold for a tenner extra on the side. Okay.
I got a bargain then.
You did do a really good job there. Mm. I paid £50 for my American Super Nintendo from Takuzoku in Cardiff, which is now called Super Tomato. It was refurbished, cleaned, and with a 3-year guarantee as well. If there's anything wrong, they would take it in and sort it back out for me. Like I said, £50 for that is not too bad either. However, how much would you like to put a bet on this?
Well, I went from 30, and then I suddenly said £60. And I'm not going to go above 60, because anything above 60 is just stupid. Especially if it's got no leads. It's stupid at 60. What am I saying?
£150. 1,500 krona, probably about 160, 170 pounds. With none of those games. They are not included.
I don't know what to say.
What the fuck has retro gaming become?
The cheek. Well, no one will buy it because there'll be one somewhere else that'll be a fraction of the price.
Not on this particular website,
really?
I'm afraid. Anytime anything comes up, it's jumped upon. There's people with searches and stuff who check it very regularly.
So anyone who's really desperate for a Super Nintendo in Denmark may be willing to pay that.
I don't know. I know.
It's certainly out of their mind if they consider it. They just go on eBay and get one.
They could. Oh, they could build a time machine, travel back in time and buy a Super Nintendo for fucking £160. Yeah, ludicrous, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they are living in the past. Maybe that
maybe this is the thing. Maybe the 90s has only just come to Denmark. They only just got these off a boat and they're very new, very brand new consoles.
Wow. Been eye-opening, Matthew.
Really?
And slightly depressing.
Yes, very depressing, I would say. Fortunately, though, there is the occasional bargain to be had on DBA. I picked up this week my only game purchase of the week, other than the one I'm going to talk about in a second, for 30 krona, and then with 20 krona postage, so 50 krona in all. I picked up a box copy of Super Mario Land 3 Wario Land, which is in very good nick.
Enough.
Comes with all this polystyrene, even comes with...
Ow, my back.
Your back.
Oh, it hurt me back.
Don't,
sorry.
Don't crick your back at the price of retro games, Thomas.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
Yes, so...
You've lost your train of thought.
I got that. Ah! But weirdly enough, from a good friend of mine, the car boot sale I went to at the weekend and got you a copy of Guitar Hero Aerosmith, was actually a friend of mine was there before me and then gave me a copy of Super Mario Land 3 Wario Land with a rather faded cart that he'd bought for a quid.
This is the same guy I sold a Wii component cable to.
And I sold a copy of Ico to because he was longing for Ico. Because he doesn't have a PlayStation 3. Yeah. And other than that, I have picked up Transistor by Supergiant Games.
You were looking forward to this one.
Been looking forward to this game very much so, because I loved Bastion, which is the last game they released on Steam and Xbox Live Arcade. Unfortunately, it has not seen a PSN release. It's a bit of a shame, because I'm hoping it will now.
Yeah, maybe it will, because I noticed the other day that R-Type Dimensions, formerly an Xbox exclusive, has now finally had a PlayStation release.
That's cool. It got released on the PS3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times. Nice. Fingers crossed the Bastion will follow the same thing then, because, as you know, Thomas, I never really play games through for all their achievements. Once I kind of complete a game, I stick it, I put it on the shelf. Or I decide, no, fuck this, I've got better things to do with my time.
And then you sticker it anyway and say you completed it.
I do, because I know
like
I'm
not... Like Forza.
Yeah, but
or
I'm...
Or any fighting game.
Well, you can't complete fighting games, is
my
argument.
Well, you can complete it as every character, unlock everything.
Oh, God, who's going to do that?
I've been playing through Dead or Alive 5.
Yes.
I'm trying to do that.
Yes. What sane
every,
person?
Every now and again. Soul Calibur. Try and get all the achievements on that. Try and complete that 100%.
I'm never going to do it, though. Like, these games are stickered for the reason that I'm, in my eyes, done with them.
You're done with them.
99% of them are games I have played through to completion. I have heard the story.
Hmm.
But, yeah, there but are games
without a story, for instance, more arcade-style titles.
You were saying that, like, I have completed things. I've got, like, Death Smiles and Ikaruga and stuff. Like,
completed Ikaruga?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I've been through that. Okay. Sorry, that's on it's on a GameCube, but it's back in my house. Yeah. Like, you know, I will complete things of that ilk. I will play shooting games through, like Death Smiles and Akai Katana. I played through with all the characters because they all have different shooting stances and stuff, which interests me. But they're not that long a game.
Yeah, yeah. If you had a copy of Donkey Kong, is that a game you'd sticker once you've actually completed it, or would you sticker it straight away?
What do you mean now? Like, are we talking classic Donkey Kong?
Classic Donkey Kong.
I would complete it.
Okay.
You'll
stick a stick on that one until you completed it.
No, even though it's got a kill screen, like, it gets to a point where the game resets itself and starts playing, I would at least get to the end of it.
Okay.
Yes.
There we are. Now that's established, we can move on.
Yay! yes, so I've been playing the latest offering from Supergiant Games. I played it for about 2-3 hours today. And I must say, I'm loving it. Those of you familiar with Bastion, it was a kind of a action-adventure hack-and-slash game, very similar ilk, kind of, to a Legend of Zelda, I might say, but more of a 3D perspective. How would you describe Bastion?
I think I described it very poorly when I was playing it.
You did not like it.
I said it was Captain Quasar.
You did say it was Captain Quasar. But
which I like, actually. I'm not saying that I don't like Captain Quasar. I just thought this was very similar.
This game, in particular, is... Whereas, for me, Bastion is more A Link to the Past. It is a very good game. Very solid mechanics and choice of weapons and stuff. I would be tempted to compare this to Secret of Mana, which, as you know, is my favourite Super Nintendo game.
Oh, so it's better.
I would say so at the moment. The story is very intriguing. The combat system is amazing. I've actually always longed for a combat system that does this, in that you can press the button and you plan out your turn and as if you're doing it in real time. So the combat is you running around the arena, and it shows you how much time that takes up, and you kind of slashing stuff up, which it has been done before, but I think it's done very well here.
Is that the core of the gameplay?
It is the core of the gameplay, the strategic
overhead.
But you can choose to ignore it. If you really want to just have a hack and slash style thing, you can do that, but you cannot. It offers this strategic level. You have a choice of kind of power-ups, and they then mean certain buttons on the, which are obviously like triangle, square, circle, and X, also do certain things. However, you can swap these out into a variety of other moves, but then you can also use moves as like subsets to your existing moves. So you can have the range of the really powerful shot on your sword slash, for example, and you can mix and match these in various different combinations. It'd be very interesting to see further into the game how many of these unique combinations there are, because there seems to be countless ways to customize your character at the moment, which is great. I've been playing through, so much similar to Bastion, it has challenge parts of the game as well, where you are given set amount of weapons or set things and you have to do a challenge with them. And for the most part, that's actually opened my eyes up to a lot of unique combinations perhaps I wouldn't have tried, because for the most part in the main campaign up until when I just started doing these, I've been using primarily the sword, which you start with, your talking sword that narrates the game. Kind of in a similar ilk to the narrator in Bastion.
I thought they've reused that same idea, but they've done it slightly differently.
They have, but it's very unique because the character Red, as apparently her voice has been taken from her. And this sword is then narrating. I shan't say any spoilers because I think it's rather interesting as to why the sword talks, etc. And the sword is narrating the game and kind of giving you a blow-by-blow of what's happening through the sword's perspective.
Again, it's a pleasant voice.
Yes,
as the voice
I believe
Bastion.
It is the same voice in
to.
Bastion. Okay. I could be incorrect there, but it sounds
just without
similar.
The kind of like twang. Is that right that Bastion had a kind of like this kind
I
of John Wayne kind of thing, did it?
Yeah. It was a gravelly, more like the kid.
Oh, more like the kid. Yeah. like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, more like a Clint Eastwood kind of vibe. But that I think it's the same voice actor, but it's not got that same kind of grab. It's just got like a regular talking voice.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, kind of like this.
Yeah.
Kind of guy.
But it's cool. Yeah. I really like it. I'm looking forward to playing a lot more of it. I really recommend you pick it up. Supergiant Games, this has cemented me purchasing every future game by them, because if these two are anything to go by, I love the games.
Beautiful
they make.
Aesthetic.
Oh, God, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, a nice soundtrack. Very unique soundtrack.
The soundtrack is amazing because the main character, I believe, is some kind of singer. And then her voice has been taken away from her, which is such the big crime that they've taken the voice away from her. And you hear her singing through like radios and stuff in this city you're exploring, kind of like Bastion. It seems like very barren, abandoned landscapes. And you hear her music, and you can actually, at any point in time, you can hold down the R1 button, and then she stands there and hums along
but
to the music.
But she can't talk.
She can't.
That's quite poignant to have someone who uses their voice as a career, as a singer, and is able to emote through their voice and have it taken away from them.
Yes.
Nice idea for the story.
But then to give a voice to an object you would not necessarily associate with having a voice, such as a sword as well, you know, it's that kind of contrast of singing. You would expect to have a voice and then a sword you would not.
I'm intrigued by this game. I don't think it's one I'll get myself, but I'll maybe watch you play it a bit more.
Yeah. Well, it's very fun. I like it in terms of gameplay.
And is it a cross-buy?
I don't think it is.
That's a shame.
I'm not sure if the Vita can handle it.
Really?
Yeah, from the looks of things.
Okay.
There are some very...
It wasn't released on PS3, was it?
No, it was not. It's just a PS4 game. Yes. But that was said from the off. That was said when it was announced it was going to be a PS4 game.
Yeah.
But I honestly think it's a fantastic game, and I recommend anyone who likes action-orientated RPGs, because there is a leveling mechanic and stuff similar to in Bastion, where you get more things for your weapons and you get these more unlocks and perks and things to get it. Even if you just like a gripping story, like there are ways you can make the game harder, much like in Bastion. You can like equip negative powers to yourself as well, so means the enemies attack harder and all this kind of stuff. And obviously there's various achievements for beating battles with these things on, but highly, highly recommend the game. Cannot sing its praises enough at this point.
Great.
I hope it will continue to be as enjoyable as it is.
Another game that Matt Boyle quite liked is on sale at the moment. That's Strider.
Strider!
It's on sale.
Not Strider.
£6 something.
Really? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, quite a recent PlayStation Xbox release.
Yeah, you should maybe pick that up. It's a good game.
I'm considering it.
I think you should.
But I've been very reluctant to do that just lately, because I feel like I've downloaded a lot. I've maybe mentioned some podcasts last week that I've... Whenever I see a good value game on the store or in a sale or something that I want to play, I pick it up. But then I don't necessarily play it, which is the problem. And I now have a backlog, a considerable backlog of games that I don't play, and, you know, I don't feel the urge to play them.
Yes.
So I've resisted picking up these great bargains. It happened with the Luftreisers.
Yes.
Luftreisers.
Luftreisers.
Yeah, like that. Very rousing. Yes. And it happened with Steamboat Dig as well. I saw them there and was tempted, but I didn't.
Yeah. You know, at least Strider, I think you could probably get all you wanted out of that game through my copy. I don't think that's a game like Spelunky, for example, is another game you did this with. That
I got Spelunky.
Yeah, I know you did eventually, but I mean, I don't think Strider has the same kind of lasting appeal as something like Spelunky. Perhaps.
No, I think I did. I did well with Spelunky.
Yes.
Definitely. And hopefully I pick up a couple of other cool-looking games for the 3DS.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't remember what they are at the moment, but what I will do is, if I do pick them up, I'll mention it on next time's podcast and give you a lowdown.
That's cool. At least
even if I don't pick them up, I'll mention what I was perusing. Because I think sometimes Nintendo eShop games get a little bit lost and they don't get the exposure.
Well, Steamworld Dig certainly did. Like, I never bothered to play when he was on the 3DS, and then I played it on the Vita and loved it, so...
And these games that I'm looking at seem very unique, and actually in some sort of gaming publications they've been rated very highly.
Yes.
As well, which is making me think, yeah, these are probably worth a go.
Do you know what I've actually done this week, Thomas, that I kind of completely forgot about?
Okay.
I backed some projects on Kickstarter.
Ah, this is something we were talking about just before the show, weren't we? We were talking about Amplitude doing rather well with its Kickstarter appeal.
Though it was, there's a website
Amplitude
out there.
Amplitude Sequel, sorry.
Amplitude HD is the title of it at the moment.
Is it essentially a remake of Amplitude?
It's going to be a sequel, but it's called Amplitude HD at the
moment. Okay. Do you know anything about the track listing?
No, I do not. Amplitude? I just enjoyed the original Amplitude so much that I was like, well, I'll throw some money behind it.
It is very playable.
Yes.
And it had David Bowie on the soundtrack.
Yes.
So I was quite happy about that.
Cool.
I've got Frequency as well.
Really? Yeah. I've never played Frequency.
Similar thing.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
I think Amplitude certainly improved on it, though.
Yeah. Actually, have you got that in the UK?
Yes.
Can you bring it back? I'd like to play it again. I would like to give it a try.
Amplitude or Frequency?
Yes. Both. Either. Both. Okay. Why not?
We can compare them.
Yes, but
music, more licensed stuff on Amplitude.
Yes, I would imagine so. I paid actually $40. I backed Amplitude 4, which means we have early game access, which means we get it 2 weeks before it's actually released retail-wise. And I thought for us to talk about on here to inform the listener, that would be a good choice.
I didn't know you'd done this because I read the article on Polygon today and it was talking about how this game potentially won't sell very well.
Yes.
But judging the support it's had on Kickstarter.
It was a very slow burner, though.
Yeah.
I saw it when they launched the Kickstarter, and for the first week or so, it wasn't doing very well. And after backing Celt Country by Renegade Kid, and that failed, I was a bit disheartened by Kickstarter because I've backed some Double Fine production games, which have all shot up there like a Broken Age and Massive Chalice. I also backed an indie game called Night of the Woods, which I'm very looking forward to playing. But after Cult Country, I was like, well, maybe I don't need to back on. Obviously, Mighty Number Nine.
I
am a Beck backer. And a Beck backer.
I was going to say, a Beck backer. You back Beck?
Yeah, a Beck backer. Yes, but off the back of Amplitude then, I saw some other games that I thought looked very good. Mm. And most of them are funded, I will be honest. Most of that, I saw them and I was like, well, I'll pay the $20 that is to get a copy of that game. One of them being Codemancer, a fantasy game that teaches the magic of code.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially
Codemancer.
Yeah, it's like a role-playing game, but it involves coding to fight.
Oh, so you can learn.
So you can learn coding while you play it.
You're interested in that anyway.
Yes, I am. So I thought that was good. Learning. Also has a Python. It's going to have a Python version now as well as regular C. It's a programming language, which is what I was learning, so it will come in handy.
Yeah, it's
the art style looks very nice for it.
Okay.
I backed a game called Super Hot.
Hmm.
And
sounds sexy.
For the no, it's a first-person shooter, believe it or not. Much like Transistor, the whole mechanic of the game is the game time only moves when you do.
So
essentially it's a first person shooter, and when you take a step forward, the world around you will move, and so it kind of gives you time to plan what you're doing. And I imagine it would be either very, I can't remember, there's a demo out for it and I haven't played it, but I backed it on the recommendation of a friend actually who has played the demo, and I would imagine some ability to be quite stealthy and rather reserved with your ammunition in kind of like you just deciding to do certain particular shots and stuff. Sounded interesting. It was $15.
It does sound interesting.
So I thought, I will get it. It's also reached its stretch goal to have a Mac version, which is why I backed it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I also backed a game, and this is the final one I backed, I believe, called Amori, which is essentially, it's a Japanese role-playing game created by Western developers.
The French thing.
I think so.
The one that had the trailer on the internet. that narrows it down, doesn't it?
Was
it featured on Kotaku? Or something?
A surreal exploration horror RPG. Travel between new and old worlds and uncover new/old mysteries with your new/old friends. It's from LA. It's not the one you told me about last week. It was about depression.
No, yeah, that's not the one I was thinking
but
about.
But to be honest, I backed this one because it was very cheap to be a backer and get a copy of the game for Mac and PC again.
Uh-huh.
It was only like $5 or $6. And the sprite style reminded me a lot of Earthbound.
Okay.
Probably won't be as revolutionary a game as Earthbound, perhaps, but the sprite style was enough to intrigue me to draw me in. It also has a crazy, crazy animated trailer that apparently will be the cutscenes of the game. So check it out. It's called Omori, O-M-O-R-I.
Exciting games on the horizon then.
Yes, there are. So yeah, great games on the horizon.
Indeed, and more coming this week. Retail games, that is.
Ho, ho, ho.
What have we got on the 27th?
Gaming Christmas, Tom.
We've got
Watch Dogs.
Yay! Watch Dogs has been a hugely hyped game, which has impressed audiences since its E3 debut.
I believe 2 years ago is the first of the next-gen games we actually saw. It's supposed to have been a launch title.
Those first games for next-gen consoles that were making people go, oh, wow.
First game for next-gen console that was delayed, as was...
Drive Club.
Ubisoft's The Division. Halo 5 has now been pushed back to 2015, even though Microsoft promised it would be a late 2014 release.
Halo 5.
Halo 5.
Echoes, or whatever it's called.
Guardians. Guardians!
Sorry. But Watch Dogs, yes.
27th. I'm looking forward to playing it. I'm going to pick it up
It's
PS4.
A high-profile release. Very high-profile. Ubisoft, you know, they can do no wrong, seemingly. So,
To be honest with you, I've kind of taken a stance on this one. Just because I saw... Do you see the crazy Matrix that was on Kotaku?
No.
Where they listed all of the... Like, essentially how much you would have to pay to get all of the bonus content from this game.
Oh, no, really?
And it costs, like... It would have cost you, like, a grand and involved you buying, like, 4 different copies of the game from separate retailers.
Well, no one's going to do that.
No, of course not. But it would cost a ridiculous amount of money to get this game and have all of the content to play it as a full...
Well,
in pretty common experience.
As long as there's enough content available
for
those who just decide to pick up one copy of the game.
But as a result of this, I have not actually pre-ordered the game.
Ooh.
I'm kind of annoyed.
Get it on Wii U instead?
No. Oh my fuck. I'm going to get it for the PS4, where I know the game will run properly.
Well, that's an interesting thing to talk about briefly, isn't it? How well this is going to fare on... Last gen systems, probably all right, I think.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about that myself.
To be honest,
if you've got the new one,
this is the first game I saw that was a big step up from what I thought the last gen consoles were capable of. Whether it's still the case, it remains to be seen. Obviously, we'll have to show them running side by side or something and see the difference between the last gen and this gen. Obviously,
Titanfall
wasn't
a
big deal.
I'm sure that will happen.
I'm sure it will.
On the internet. I love that.
Titanfall wasn't a big deal, as we experienced when I played it on the 360 and loved it. Bit of a shame, actually. Like, I've seen that game's already like $20 on the Xbox One. It's just dropped down in price.
I wonder what was the more popular version.
I would assume 360, because the 360 one's still retaining its value.
Yeah. Bigger audience.
Yes, a much larger user base.
User base, that's the one.
Yeah. But... Even then, after that, Thomas, we are getting some good games, believe it or not. There are big, or arguably bigger releases next week, despite the hype train for Ubisoft's Watch Dogs.
I think possibly the biggest release next week has to be Mario Kart 8, doesn't it?
I think it does.
The biggest Wii U release ever?
Do you know what the best thing about this release date is, Thomas?
30th of... May.
It's actually a bank holiday in Denmark, so we're off, so we can play Mario Kart.
Well,
our heart's content.
Well, this is us hoping that our friend Austin will buy it on release.
This is us guaranteeing that I'm going to buy it on release.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I actually don't want any of the free games. I kind of thought about it and was just like, ah, fuck it, I'll buy it.
So we're going to have two copies in the household?
I guess we will.
I had to get it.
Yeah, I know, so did I. But think about it, we could theoretically have 8 to play a Mario Kart if there is some kind of system thing here.
We'd have system thing?
Yeah, like system link kind of thing, like we did with Halo back in the days of LAN. Yeah. Actually, I don't know if we can, there's no Ethernet cable, is there?
The internet.
Yeah, that's true.
Just play online.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I can play on my own gamepad in my own living room while you play on the TV. Ha 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 ha.
You could do that, yeah.
You could.
Yeah, on your own system, we got 2 Wii U's in the house.
Yeah, see? Clever boy. So yeah, that's out. I'm looking forward to it. Have you decided what free game you're going to get?
Yet? Yes, still Game & Wario. I haven't changed my mind.
You bought Wonderful 101, right?
No.
Did you not buy it in that?
I didn't get it in the
you
end.
Didn't get
I
it.
Actually forgot.
Oh,
idiot
Thomas.
That I was. Well, it was. You told me it was being sold rather cheaply online, and
it was ludicrously cheap. It was like.
Should have picked it up.
You should have. It was a new copy.
Yeah, I know. But again, when weighing it up, I thought, "What's the game? What's the game I'm going to play more? We have a copy game in Wario on a shelf that no one's touched in a while." But yeah. I thought it would. I said this last week, didn't I? That it wouldn't take up as much space on the system memory as some of the others might do.
Yeah, that's true.
And it would probably be something I could easily dip in and out of. Whereas a game like Wonderful 101, I'd have to sink some hours in and have some frustrations. And my gaming tastes, no.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Probably not going to happen. No. Probably not going to make good use of the game if I get it. So.
No. But a game that you might make good use of is also getting released the same day as Mario Kart, Thomas.
I'm wondering what we're talking about.
You
here.
Are a big flight simulation fan.
Oh, it's a joke.
Is Ace Combat Infinity.
Oh, Ace Combat Infinity. Actually, I liked Ace Combat Electrosphere.
Yes.
On the PlayStation 1.
I liked the Ace Combat games on the PS1 also.
Yeah, it was nice, quite unique, well made. What's another Ace Combat game that I played? No, there's another one called Heat Seeker on the Wii, which is rather good.
Okay.
Playing game. But yeah, fond memories of Electrosphere. This was a game that I picked up when I worked at Game, when a guy brought in a box, and I'm motioning to Matt how big this box was. Very big. Full of PS1 games, and not crap either, you know. Obscure things. I mean, I got Capcom vs. SNK Pro out the same box as well. Yeah, those were the days. Anyway, the new one, there's been a lot released recently and none of them have really taken my fancy. I never felt particularly compelled to buy them. I still haven't really played my copy of that game on the Wii that came out that was based on the anime.
That narrows it down.
You know, there was an anime about flying planes and things, and there was a video game. Sky Crawlers.
Okay, I have no idea what that is.
Sky Crawlers, yes. I played that a bit, thought it was pretty good, but didn't come back to it. So I think plane games aren't really on my radar.
Foxes and Slippy Toads.
Yeah, certainly if another Star Fox game came out, I'd be right.
Come on, E3. Come on, Star Fox. And then there's a game out. I'm not sure. I've put PC Mac here, but I believe it may only be PC, which if so will make me sad because I want to play it. And that is a story about my uncle.
Yes.
Which is a kind of almost, you kind of threw out Myst earlier.
Yeah, but then I realised as I watched the trailer, it really wasn't that. And it was more of a first-person platform game.
It is, yeah.
Using a kind of electronic lasso ability.
Yes, I would imagine.
From your hand. As I watched him pull himself towards floating objects, floating platforms.
It's been dubbed as a non-violent first-person shooter, almost. Well, I guess lack of shooter. First-person platformer, yes, is the better term.
Which I guess the only thing that's really comparable to that is Jumping Flash.
No,
on the PS1.
Let's not
compare
anything. No,
I'm going
to
say
Mirror's
Edge. Hey, what's up with Jumping Flash? Rather good. Jumping Flash is rather good.
I've not played it for a very long time.
Yeah. Jumping Flash 2. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what I got a real urge to play on the PS1? And I have no idea why. And like, I can't even remember if it was any good. And then I saw that it was worth a ridiculous amount of money. And I was like, oh God, I'm not going to pay that for it. Roscoe McLean.
Oh. Yeah, remind me.
He's like, from what I remember, he's a firefighter, like action hero.
Yeah.
I remember the first level was you going into a burning building and saving people.
Oh, is it a platform game or?
I kind of think it was. 3D platformer, maybe. I can't remember.
And that's valuable.
I believe so. I believe it's on a list of the top 40 most expensive PS1 games. It's a bit of a shame because I would have liked to have played that again. I don't think it's been re-released anywhere. It's probably why it's so valuable. But I remember it being okay.
Yeah.
Then again, I also remember the Jersey Devil being okay, and that's a fucking terrible game. So
not as bad as Rascal, though.
Oh, God, I fucking hate that game. Isn't that by Traveller's Tales?
It is, sadly enough. Oh, you know, they've gone on to do great things, oh, but God, what happened with Rask? I wonder when we get to talk to someone from TT. You know,
yes.
Through our connections, we can quiz them on
Rascal. Why the fuck they made Rascal. Yeah,
I think that's the history of Rascal.
Yeah. Generally, they'll get offended. Generally, they'll throw the mic down and just be like, this interview's over.
What about Rascal?
Yeah.
Yeah. And others will look on and go, what?
Yeah. No,
what were you talking about?
Yeah. We'll try. Yeah. Tom's teasing some exciting news. He's.
I'm not sure if I should have been.
No, maybe not. Not yet, Thomas. Not yet. But you will see, young listener. And on that slightly teasy ending, I think it's time to say goodnight from me and goodnight from you.
Yeah.
Usual channels, folks. Facebook.com/TomAmAtAttack. On Twitter @TMAcast. We're on iTunes. We're still doing the contests. Rate us. Get a t-shirt and some...
How's that going?
...things. Do you know what? I can't actually see... Like, many people have tweeted at us and said, hey, I've left a review.
Really?
However, none of them seem to show up in iTunes.
Wow.
So I will ask these people, please, if you can check your iTunes and see the review, please screen grab it and send it to us.
Screen grab?
Yes.
As a proof.
I was going to take it on good faith because people did message in and say, hey, I've reviewed the podcast.
But they're not there.
But I can't see them because there's a weird... process where iTunes takes a couple of days sometimes to upload reviews.
Enough. So
please send us a screen grab and then we will definitely know you've done it.
Yes.
And people who reviewed us before, just give me a nudge and remind me that you've reviewed us and then I'll check it because there are some older reviews on there. But good times. Yeah, very excited. Thanks to Adam at Games World Bod for that t-shirt and the folks at Pixel for giving us that t-shirt. Mm. There'll also be, like I said, 3 months of live or gold or whatever. They're the same thing.
They're the same thing. What's PlayStation equivalent?
PSN.
PSN.
Yes.
Membership.
PlayStation Network, isn't it? It's PS Plus.
What are we talking about? Sorry.
Yes.
PlayStation Plus membership. We're not talking about points. No.
Points mean prizes.
Points don't mean anything
case.
Anymore, yeah. Though, do they?
They don't.
It's all money.
Exactly. Moolah. Maybe we'll give you an eShop card if you really got a Wii U.
Before we finish this podcast, I'd just like to shout out to anyone at Harmonix who is listening to the podcast. I'm not very happy because last weekend I tried in vain to purchase a Black Sabbath track pack for Rock Band 3, but I could not download the tracks. I purchased them, definitely, because my points went out of my Nintendo account. 300 points this is, but then I lost an internet connection.
Yes.
Okay, just after what looked like the purchase bar had completed. Went back on, points had gone, no tracks, hadn't registered that I'd bought them. I raised a ticket on the Harmonix website. It's nearly been a week, it'll be a week this Sunday, and I haven't heard anything.
You have not?
So on the off chance that anyone Harmonix is remotely interested in this podcast or listens to it, what's going on?
Yeah.
Stop making Amplitude for a second.
Stop making very good games for a second that I've invested my money into.
Have a look at this for me because I'm out of pocket here. You don't want me being out of pocket, do you?
Nobody,
I feel cheated.
Nobody makes Tom out of pocket.
Well, no. I want those Black Sabbath tracks, even though they're as made famous by Black Sabbath.
Yes.
And not actually the original tracks.
Do you realise that? In hindsight.
I did realise that. I was just desperate for some Black Sabbath on Rock
Band. So, by as made famous by Black Sabbath during their Dio versions.
I don't mind.
Till next week, guys. Game on.
Game on.